A number of people after the 4 o'clock mass last night, knowing that Father Don is on vacation, asked me if I was taking care of the dog. I just stared at him. Oftentimes it's said in sports to describe a player as being relentless. Khalil Mack of the Chicago Bears on the defensive end, for example. Oftentimes, or he's blocked off the line by the tackle, but the way he perseveres to get to the quarterback, to sack, tackle the running back, his pursuit is relentless. Some athletes, some players just have a nose for the ball. Doesn't matter where they're on the court, they get the offensive rebound. Some players, as we know, their defense is so smothering that by the end of the game, the fourth quarter, the second half, they're just under your skin. You're growing frustrated by their defense because they're just all over you. Hopefully to the point where you don't commit a foul by either something you say or do, but they're relentless. Being relentless is an important characteristic or trait to have as an athlete, but it's an essential trait to have in the Christian life. This week we begin a 3-week preaching series entitled Relentless. I'm preaching this weekend, Deacon Sonovia will be preaching next weekend, and then I'll be preaching again the third weekend. And this week, the first week of the series, we're focusing on being relentless in the face of obstacles that come up in life. And our readings this week gives us something of a two-part formula in being relentless in facing and overcoming obstacles. So if you're here this afternoon and you never have any obstacles come up in your life, you never experience any hardships or never experience any trials, you can take a nap right now. We'll be sure to have your neighbor wake you up in time for when the creed starts. But for the rest of us, let's look at the first reading, the book of Exodus. As oftentimes we are thrown in the middle of a chapter and in the middle of a book, and so here we find ourselves in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, verse 8. And at the time, some backstory is important here, is the Israelites have just crossed the Red Sea. And in crossing the Red Sea, the army that was following them, the Egyptian army, has been crushed in the water, signifying and the reality of them being free for the first time, centuries and centuries and centuries of slavery, they're not free. And between them and the promised land is a straight shot. Their eyes are fixed on the promised land of where they're going to go, where they desire to go. And then in verse 8, we pick up, in those days, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. Out of nowhere, an army comes to pick a fight. This obstacle that comes up out of nowhere. And it's important to note that the Israelites are not an army. They're slaves. They're traveling with women. They're traveling with children. Let alone having weapons, proper weapons, to face an army. That is to say, they are facing this obstacle that very well could be their end. It could be their complete annihilation as a nation. And what do they do, or what are they told to do by God? God, through Moses, says to Joshua, go out and engage Amalek in battle. Engage. What else is there to do? They could turn back to Egypt and they'd just be slaves again. They could just sit there idly and cower in fear and be overtaken anyways and be beaten. As a priest, I'm oftentimes thrown into people's lives when obstacles hit them, trials and hardships hit them. Just last night I was with a gentleman who just a few months prior I was with on the golf course playing 18 holes. And now he's lost all of his hair. He can't even stand up more than a couple minutes without getting dizzy as he's fighting cancer and his chemotherapy. Tomorrow I'll be meeting in the home of a young man who's on his deathbed with his battle with brain cancer. And his wife will now embark on the journey of raising their two small boys alone. A woman recently, her husband just got up and left. And now she, not only raising her children by herself, but is the only one in the family to make money working by herself. The gravity and the magnitude of obstacles that are thrown in our lives are great. But what else to do other than to engage? And this is where the Lord asks us to engage in these battles, and not just these battles, but anything that comes up, these obstacles in life. Things at work, small things within our hearts, a battle against sin, a character defect in myself. All these little battles, all these little obstacles, that the temptation is to just brush them away. Because what's the response when all these obstacles and battles come up in life? Anxiousness. Our chest gets tight. That's just too much. And so the knee-jerk reaction is just to turn away and just wipe it under the rug. Because, of course, with homework piling up, with exams right around the corner, with new projects at work, with craziness going at home, if I just binge watch Netflix for 3 hours, everything will go away. If I just zone out and go somewhere else on YouTube, the thing that is pressing upon me right now is just going to stop. No, it gets worse, infinitely so. If I don't engage in the battle that's before me that I need to engage in, things get worse. The Lord is telling us this morning to engage. Otherwise, things just grow and they become a monster. In our lives, with our children, in our marriage, identify it and engage. So what's the Amalekite army in your life and in my life that has popped up, or maybe continually pops up in our lives, and that we're losing against because we're not engaging? We're just hoping that it will go away, so I swipe it under the rug. The Lord says, step one of the formula of being relentless in the face of obstacles is to engage. But not just engage. The second part of this formula that the Lord gives us is that as Joshua goes down to battle, Moses goes up a hill. And he doesn't go up the hill to get a better view of the battle that's going on so that he can better command the army and call out different strategies. He goes up the hill to pray. Part of me is like, Moses, get your butt down there and fight. You're being soft right now. Get down there. But no. The reading puts emphasis on prayer and persevering in prayer in the face of obstacles and challenges that come up in life. So much so that it points to this silly thing of when Moses' arms are outstretched on the hill, Israel is doing well in battle when he's praying. When he's not praying, when his arms are down, Israel's losing in battle. But Moses grows tired. He grows weary. So his arms come down. And so the church, the saints, the gospel today, the point is persevere in prayer. But praying's hard. Praying's really hard, especially in the face of obstacles. Sure, the first reaction, the knee-jerk reaction when obstacles come up in life is to pray. When something hits me and I'm anxious, I do turn to God. But over time, when the cancer doesn't go away, when the obstacle maybe gets bigger, what's the point of prayer? Does he even listen? What's the point? Persevere in prayer. But it is hard. Moses, it's hard for Moses. As his arms go down, what do? They bring in a rock for him to sit on. They bring Aaron and Ur come up and they take his hands and hoist them up in the air so he can keep his hands up. The point is the importance of prayer and being relentless in prayer. And so how do we remain encouraged to be relentless in the face of obstacles? The church fathers commenting on this passage in Exodus pointed to the fact that as Moses is up on a hill with his hands outstretched, it prefigures someone else on top of a hill whose arms were outstretched. And his arms don't grow weary. They don't fall. His arms outstretched on Calvary won us our salvation. And a deeper knowledge of what it is that he's done for us, we can face obstacles in our life relentlessly, engaging and in prayer.